First John chapter number 5. This has been on my heart for, not this passage, but this thought has been on my heart as I've seen the Lord work it in me. And I even mentioned it in Sunday service, Sunday night service particularly, and Miss June, in her testimony Monday night, she talked about the confidence. God has refreshed and restored the confidence in her heart concerning prayer. Amen. And has me as well. Amen. And it's more than just a confidence that it works. That's definitely implied in that word confidence. But it's deeper, much deeper than that. And let's look at, if you will, let's read verse 13, 14, and 15 of John, 1 John chapter number 5. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Verse 14, and, notice the word and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, I pray you'll take the message and, Lord, our feeble effort to explain and try to expound, dear God, that which you put in our heart. Lord, take us to new levels concerning our prayer life, and it will have a profound effect on our church and the cause of Christ. Have your way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There's no way that we can overemphasize the importance of prayer. No way. In fact, I'm reminded there where the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Teach us to pray." Not one time did they ever say, "Teach us to preach." Not once. And oh, would he not have been the classic, ultimate example on preaching? Christ could have, and he is our example. But they said, "Teach us to pray." Could it be that they asked that question, Brother Chuck, "Teach us to pray," because they were more impressed with his praying than they were his preaching? Could that have been it? Could they have been, that have been it? They saw him pray. They heard him pray. They saw him make it a priority in his life as he would send them on their way, and he would steal away up into a mountain apart to pray. He would find himself alone to pray. And I mentioned here Monday night that it's good to pray always. The Bible tells us to do that. Pray without ceasing. But don't ever let praying without ceasing and always praying, just kind of going always through the day with a prayer on your heart. That should never take the place of a place of prayer. Okay? It's one thing to pray going down the road, and anybody that rides with me does quite a bit of that. Amen. I even do some of that myself. But that'll never take the place of the place. Amen. A prayer. Have a place where you just get alone by yourself. Nobody hear you. No, you're not trying to impress anybody, or you're not worried about somebody hearing you. And just get alone and pray. Just pour your heart out to the Lord. Amen. You say, "Well, I don't know, preacher, how to pray. I don't know what to do." Well, just talk to him like you would your friend. Because he is. Talk to him like you would your doctor. Because he is. Talk to him. Amen. Amen. That's good. Right. Someone said they walked by the road and they heard this little young boy over in a distance of praying, and they stopped and they noticed that he was a praying his ABCs. He didn't even know how to pray, didn't know anything about it. He was just over there, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, ever, how he was doing it. He was just praying his ABCs. And of course, curiosity killed the cat, and that man got so curious about that, he actually made his way over to where the young man was, and he said, "Son, why are you praying your ABCs?" And he said, "Well, I don't know." He's just a young boy. He said, "I don't know how to pray, and I just figured if I prayed my ABCs, God would put it into words what I needed." Amen. Praise God. Amen. I thought that was good. Amen. Spurgeon said this about prayer, and Spurgeon is known as the Prince of Preachers, C.H. Spurgeon. He said this, "I'd rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach." What about that? Amen. That's profound, isn't it? But that's not the emphasis of our day. Our emphasis is maybe on the preaching part or on the singing part or something, but all the praying is the foundation of our church. I like these words that you find throughout the Bible: "I shall," "I will," "I can." Those are words of confidence. John said, "This is the confidence that we have in Him." John said, "I can have confidence in Him. I can experience confidence on the inside concerning my prayer life and what I'm praying about." I'd never noticed this before, but this confidence, and this is the confidence. You remember I mentioned Sunday night about, how the Lord's been working in my heart about praying and praying for you and praying for all of you, amen, and praying that God will work and in your heart and deal with you and speak to you and get specific about it, amen. Brother Homie told me today when I was praying for him over the, before he went in surgery, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I don't know if you've been praying for me not to sleep," but he said, "I ain't been sleeping too good lately." Amen. I said, "Well, no, I don't reckon I've been praying for you about that." Amen. Anyway, that's good that people think that way anyhow. But I thought about this, that confidence that John's talking about is inward. It's inward. Listen to this. You've heard me preach on it before. The woman with the issue of blood. In Matthew 9, verse 21, here's what it says. And listen to it in light of what I just told you about this confidence being on the inside. That's what faith is an inner confidence. Remember, Miss April, I asked her, I gave this illustration Sunday when I asked her about being saved. Right over there, I said, inside of you, is there a confidence and a faith that if you ask God to save you, He'd do it? And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, what else do you need to do? Call on Him." Amen. Amen. Well, look, here's what it says. Matthew 9:21, "For she said within herself." I'd never noticed that till today. She said within herself. This is not a voice that's outward. It's not one coming out of her mouth that others and her neighbors hear. This is a voice that's inside her. This is a confidence that's inside her. She said, for she said within herself, "If I may but touch His garment, I shall be whole." Now keep in mind now, listen, I don't want to make the whole message on her, but remember the Bible said that she had already suffered many things of many physicians. So you know her confidence in doctors was shot. And the Bible said that she had spent all of her living, so she was broke. She was on the bottom. She probably would say something like this: "I don't want to ever hear of another doctor's name. Don't ever recommend to me another doctor. Don't ever tell me about another one." Her confidence was gone. She didn't have none, about like where I'm at nearly. Hey man, I don't have much in them. But anyway, that's beside the point. But the Bible said something very clear in Mark's account of that story and of that parable. And when she heard of Jesus, and I don't know what she heard, probably how He had performed miracles, raised the dead, cleansed the leper, opened blinded eyes, caused the deaf to hear, dumb to speak, lame to walk, who knows, amen, what she heard. But when she heard of Jesus, something happened on the inside of her. It wasn't like the other doctors that, well, I'll just, you know, okay, I'll give them a try. Or I'll give them a call and set up an appointment and I'll go see them. No, this come from on the inside. Amen. As she heard the reports of Jesus, the Spirit of God worked inside her and generated faith in her and a confidence in her that she said, even after being disappointed by all the other physicians, by spending all of her living and was suffering many things and was not getting better but worse, God allowed an inner confidence and faith to be generated in Christ. That is what this confidence in our text is talking about. That inward faith, that inner confidence, that inner spiritual generated faith in your heart toward the things of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. Don't lose your confidence. Don't cast your confidence off. Let me give you this right here. I'm not going to be able to get done tonight, but look at verse 13. I'm not going to reread it. But verse 13 deals with the confidence of salvation. And then it goes right into verse 14 and hooks up with verse 14 with an and, which is a word of connection. Everybody with me? Showing here that you go from the confidence of salvation into the confidence of supplication. A lot of people have no confidence in prayer because they don't even know they're saved. They don't have any real confidence, inner assurance that they know God. So if you're not in verse 13, don't even try to get in verse 14. Amen. Amen. And you ought to have confidence in prayer if you've got confidence you're saved. That right there ought to stir your heart. That right there ought to stir you. That if God can hear the sinner's prayer, if God can hear me call on Him to be saved, then God can hear me when I pray for my children or my neighbors or whatever. It's confidence. I wrote this down. Prayerlessness is a lack of confidence. The reason people do not pray is because they do not believe it works. The devil wants to chip away and eat away your confidence in prayer. Because if he does that, then you won't pray. And if you don't pray, then God can't do anything because God can't do anything except in answer to prayer. Amen. You have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive. If you don't ask, you won't receive. Amen. Prayerlessness is a lack of confidence. Prayers prayed, but no answers come is due to a lack of confidence. Amen? The confidence in our text is directly connected to answered prayer. In verse 14 and 15, it is directly connected to answered prayer. Now, I'm going to deal with something. I don't mean to make anybody mad. I just want to stir your minds up to think on it. And I do it. I'm not settled on all of it yet, but I'm seeing it. I throwed some of this at Brother Robert Taylor today, and he said, "Oh, preacher," he said, I see it. How many times do we pray, if it's the Lord's will?
Right. You're right.
We all do it.
Right. Yeah.
Is it scriptural? When you're praying that term, if it's the Lord's will, you are confessing you don't know what the Lord's will is. That's contradictory to what this verse says. This verse says this is the confidence that we have in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, that is, we know it. You can't pray according to God's will if you don't know what it is. And that verse teaches me that I am to pray according to the will of God. Is that not what that's teaching?
Right.
Now here's a little state, this little thing the Lord gave me today. If I am to pray the Lord's will, then I can perceive the Lord's will.
Yeah.
If I'm to pray the Lord's will, then I can know the Lord's will.
Right.
You agree with that? But the statement, if it's the Lord's will, and we're all getting it tonight. I'm not trying to establish new doctrine. I'm just wanting you to think about it. If it's the Lord's will, that means you don't know it. You don't know what the Lord's will is, so therefore you're not praying according to the Lord's will because you don't even know what the Lord's will is. Now listen to this. I've been thinking on it, meditating on it. What verses are used to support that if it's the Lord's will? Could it be James chapter 4, verse 15? Where that crowd said, well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go in such and such a city and we're going to buy and sell and get gain, you know. And then it comes in and said, James corrected them and said, hey, what is your life? Is but a vapor. It appears for a little time, then vanisheth away. And then he told him, he said, like, hey, you need to say if it's the Lord's will, we'll go. That's not prayer context. That's not prayer subject. That is people that's acting presumptuously. That's people that's saying, independent of God, we're going to go and we're going to do this and we're going to buy and sell and get gain. And this is what we're going to do. In other words, making decisions independent of God. And James comes in and corrects him and said, oh, wait a minute. You're supposed to say, if it's the Lord's will, we'll go here and there, buy and sell and get gain. So that you can't use that passage because that's not even talking about salvation or prayer or praying. And then some would use Matthew 26 and 39, Jesus in the garden. You know, where Jesus said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And then he said these words, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And again, though he was praying, he's showing us the ultimate example of surrender and submission. He said, Lord, if it's possible that this cup be passed for me, he said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's not saying like we use it, Lord, if it's the Lord's will, if it's the Lord's will. He's showing, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. The ultimate example of surrender. So I ask you, what verses do we use to support that if it's the Lord's will type praying? I'm to pray according to the will of God. I'm to pray according to the will of God. And if I say if it's the Lord's will, then I'm saying I don't know what it is. All right. Now just think. I'm muddying the water a little bit tonight. You can think on it. Amen. Normally, now listen to me now. You check it out with your own prayer life. I done did mine. Normally when we pray, if it's the Lord's will, of course, first, I've already mentioned this, we use that term because we don't know the Lord's will. And I put this down. If we don't know what the Lord's will is, then how can we ask in confidence or have boldness to ask in assurance that we will receive that which we've asked? You can't have any confidence to ask and expect an answer when you're saying if. Isn't that right? Are y'all still with me? It's getting awful quiet. Y'all listening? All right, listen to this. We also use this term, if it's the Lord's will. We usually use that term to make us feel better about all of our many unanswered prayers. Whoopee-doo. We console our own selves to think that all of them hundreds of prayers we prayed that never got answered, well, evidently it must not have been the Lord's will. Glory. So we usually use that term to make us feel better about unanswered prayer. When prayers are not answered, we just say it must not have been the Lord's will. To pray if it is the Lord's will requires no faith. You're not believing God for nothing. Amen? Am I right on that? If it's the Lord's will, that term is used in a prayer, a phrase, but it requires no faith to pray it because you're not believing God for nothing. Nothing specific. You're not asking Him for nothing. You're just kind of throwing a generic, generalized prayer out there. All right, listen. Or should we not be concerned about this? Should we not be concerned about this? Think about this. Just out of the crowd that's here tonight, Think about over the last 365 days, the last year, think about how many hundreds of prayers that never God answered. Can that possibly be God's will? You mean we're all that far out in so left field that we pray hundreds of prayers, Brother Ivan, that never gets answered? In fact, if I, we're not going to because I'm not in the embarrassing situation, but what if I were to go around tonight and ask you how many answers of prayer have you had lately? I mean, were you, and by the way, if you prayed and just a generalized prayer, how do you know it's answered? If you just throw it out there and if it's the Lord's will, do it, you know, how do you know that you got your prayers answered if it was just a general thing? Huh? Do you think it's the Lord's will for us to be able to have so many unanswered prayers? George Mueller did. He had in, just in his diary alone, he had over 50 recorded, wrote down over 50,000 specific, detailed answers to prayer. He ran all those orphanages. He didn't have no support, you know, for his hookup with missions or nothing. He just prayed it in. Amen. I remember hearing Blake went over that in one of his classes, and it talked about that he prayed all the material in to have one of these orphanages built, prayed all of the supplies in, but he forgot to pray for one thing. Got to pray for kids. So come opening day, he had everything he needed to start an orphanage and had no kids. But he remedied that real quick with a prayer. Dr. Percy Ray, he was the great prayer warrior of our day that I know of. Of course, he's in heaven now. But Brother Percy Ray, Dr. Estes Perkle said about him, said he was God's little pet. Said God give him everything he asked for. Amen. I mean, he had such power with God in prayer that if he, one fellow said that if he prayed for you to die, you might as well go order your casket. Amen. Brother Robert's reading his biography right now on Hooray for God, I think is what the name of it is. And I'd heard this story before, how that when he was starting Myrtle, Mississippi, the Camp Zion in Myrtle, Mississippi, that big camp meeting out there, you know, he was wanting that church, you know, his church to be the one that was, you know, for it and starting it and be the, it run through that church. Well, they, you know, that was just a little small crowd, a small handful of people. And he prayed, and there was, Brother Robert was telling me today how many eyewitnesses, I mean just a large number of eyewitnesses where he prayed for God to send fireballs from heaven to confirm to all the doubters that God wanted Camp Zion started. And it happened. All those eyewitnesses. Now, if I hadn't known him, and I would have said that was just off the wall crazy, you know. But it happened, and it's recorded. It's been seen. Several eyewitnesses. But we pray if it's the Lord's will. Usually requires no faith. Listen to this. To pray if it's the Lord's will is to avoid specific prayer and just pray in general. Generalized prayer will never know if their prayer is answered or not. We talk about the Pharisees praying. We talk about them praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and never get an answer. How many times do we pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and never get an answer? Seems to me something's wrong with our praying. Don't you think? Of course, God's not going to answer prayers that's never prayed. You know, but many of our prayers prayed never gets answered. Amen. Something's wrong with it. How many times do we tell people, I prayed for you. I'm praying for you. You're in my prayers. I'll pray for you. What if one of them turned around and said, that's wonderful. Exactly how and what are, in what way are you praying for me? What if they put you on the spot? You say, well, I'm praying for you. Well, that's great. How? What exactly are you praying for me about? If it's the Lord's will. You know why, what that is? We're not praying with any confidence. We're not praying with confidence as this verse reveals, and among other verses that you and I should pray for. Amen? This text clearly attaches answered prayer to the will of God. And the will of God, we can know what it is according to this scripture. This is the confidence we have in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, that is, we know when we're asking, it's the will of God. How do we know? An inner confidence. And I'm going to deal with that in just a second and give you something to think about, and we'll pray and go home. Amen. So I don't believe that. Well, you just hang on. We'll show you. The will of God is not some hidden secret thing. The will of God is not. Do you think the Lord wants you to know the will of God? Do you think the Lord would tell us so much to pray about the will of God and then hide it from us? No, I don't believe that. The basis behind generalized praying is I do not know what to pray. I don't know what the Lord's will is, so I just throw out some general praying, just generalized praying. I'm just giving you something to think about. How can we, I'm just going to give you this, and I'm not getting where I wanted to get, but how can we know the will of God? How can we know what to pray? Number one, and this is the foundation. Number one, we can know with confidence that this is the will of God if it is the Word of God. All right. Amen. In other words, if you're writing it down, just write down the reading of the Scripture. The reading of the Scripture. That's how we can know. The Word of God is the recorded will of God. Amen. If you want to pray the will of God, get familiar with the Word of God. Amen. I don't think there's a thing wrong with saying, God, you said. It's not that he needs reminding, he doesn't forget, but there's nothing wrong with praying the Word of God. God, you said in this passage right here, you said this word right here, you gave this promise right here. How could you not, if you're praying the Word of God, how could that not be the will of God? And there would be a confidence in you that if I'm praying the Word of God, I'm praying the will of God. And if I'm praying the will of God, I will have what I'm asking. So the reading of the Scripture. Number two. I'm just running through these. Not only the reading of the Scripture, but number two, the leading of the Spirit. How, preacher, do I know what to pray for? The reading of the Scripture. If you've got a promise, if you've got a verse, amen, that's there and your heart's drawn to that and it's speaking to you and you know that's it, lay with it. Pray that verse. Pray that Scripture. Pray that. It's the will of God. But what about the leading of the Spirit? The Spirit of God. Paul said, making all of your supplications known in the Spirit. Praying always with all supplications in the Spirit. Amen? What's that in the Spirit talking about? Under His leadership, under His influence, the Spirit of God impressing you of what you should pray for. I asked our prayer congregation on Monday night, I asked them, I said, gave them a little challenge. I said, let me ask you something. If God leads you to pray and God impresses you to pray something, is that not the will of God? Amen. And I gave them an example. I want to share it with you in the meeting that I was with in Colemont, Tennessee back a couple weeks ago. There was a young preacher there, him and his wife, clean, loves God. First time I'd ever met him was in that meeting, and loves the Lord. And we were just having fellowship there after the service one night. Of course, you didn't just drive out to eat there. You'd have an hour to civilization. And so they would bring stuff, you know, just things to eat. And praise God for that. Thought I was going to be on a week fast, but the Lord took care of me. But anyway, he mentioned that he was sitting beside of me, and the Lord kind of just hooked us up together there throughout the course of the week. And he said something to me about him and his wife hasn't had a child yet, and would ask me to pray about that. And Miss Debbie, I mean, instantly, I felt in my heart and in my spirit, I felt a nudge, leadership. I felt an inspiration in my heart that I should pray over that. And I said, "Bob, preacher," I said, "the Lord wants me to pray for you about that matter before we leave tonight." I said, "Me and you, your wife, and the pastor and his wife, we're going to get in the room. We're going to pray over that." And he said, "Well, preacher, I sure appreciate it. We'd love to have a child, you know." And so anyway, we got in that room, and I never one time said, "If it's the Lord's will." I read them a few verses of Scripture, and I brought about Hannah, talked about Hannah, how God reversed her barrenness, and Elizabeth, how God reversed her barrenness, and others in the Bible, and I brought that up. And I said, "God impressed me sitting in there at that table to pray that this would have a child." You said, "Preacher, that's building thoughts, confidence. That's going to raise their hope level. And what if they're let down?" There wasn't no what ifs to it. And there still are not on my part. I don't know about them, but there's not any on my part. Because I know sitting at that table, what the Lord spoke to my heart about generated in me, guess what? Confidence that what I was going to be praying was the Lord's will. So I asked the people here Monday night, if it wasn't the Lord's will, why did the Lord impress me and anoint us to pray over that? Do you think God would say, "Now I want you to pray over this, but it's not my will. I want you to ask me for this, but it's not my will. You just need some prayer practice." No. That's the first time, Brother Rob, I reckon in my life that became a reality to me. That if God impressed me to pray for it, it is the will of God. Right. I'm talking about first, we know if it's the reading of the Scripture, if it's the Word of God, it's the will of God. Number two, if there's the leading of the Spirit. Being close to the Spirit of God, being close to God and letting Him impress you and influence you on the specifics of how to pray for somebody in the church. As I go through our church list and I go through the list in my heart and mind and I pray and I've tried to just pull up the list and go A to W. I guess, Brother Willis, I guess y'all the last one on the list. Huh? Well, Yarnails. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I just check and make sure you was listening. Making sure you knew your ABCs. Amen. But I got that and tried that. I've got it on my phone from A to Y. There we go. Got it. I've got it on my phone where I just pull it out and I just go through it. But that hindered me. I felt tied to that. I felt like I was just, that was hindering me. And so I just, like Brother Stallard and Miss Susan, several was talking about just in your mind. I mean, you know where people sense. And I just start going from front to back and all around and amen, and just pray. And I don't just mention a name, Brother Klepper, and just pray. When I'm calling your name up, I'm listening to the Holy Ghost to try to impress me of any specifics because He knows you. He knows where you're at and what's going on in your life and what you're about to face. And the Spirit of God has impressed me at times to pray for people specifically about things. The leading of the Spirit, the reading of the Scripture, and the leading of the Spirit. Let God lead you on what to pray. And if he leads you, and there's a confidence, that's how you, listen, it generates a confidence. Hey, God's telling me to pray this. And if God's telling me to pray this, and God's impressing me to pray this, then it's his will, amen, if it don't violate Scripture.
Right.
Now, don't ever expect the Spirit of God to lead you to pray about something that violates
right.
Scripture.
Right.
Okay? Make that very clear. I'm not just throwing this, the leading of the Spirit in there for it to be open-ended and pray about anything and everything. No, it'll always be checked by the Word of God.
Right.
Amen. If you keep that in mind, it'll keep you from going out on limb. But the leading of the Spirit. Amen. That illustration I just gave, I read that passage in Scripture about that children are the heritage of the Lord. And so forth. And I prayed about that. And I'm expecting a call just any time. Preacher, we're going to have a baby.
Amen.
You know what my response is probably going to be besides shouting a little bit? I'm going to say, I knew it.
Amen.
Confidence in my heart. I'm expecting it.
Amen.
I am. I'm expecting it. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
And what I'm seeing going on in the church here, hallelujah, that's firing me up to pray more and get more specific. Amen. And when I said Sunday night and I went around and I pointed out a few, I could have pointed to everyone here. I could just point out a few, hey, God's after you. God's on your trail, amen. Because in confidence, I know that. I know that in my heart that I've prayed God in your direction and in your life, and you're going to have a hard time till you get right.
Amen.
That's exactly right. But anyway, the third way you can know what to pray is instead of just saying, Lord, if it's your will, not only the reading of the Scriptures and the leading of the Spirit, but the longing of your soul. You can know, now listen, let me clarify this. For you to pray specifically, for you to pray according to the will of God demands that you be right with God. Because if you're not right with God, you're not right with the Word of God, and therefore the Word of God is not going to impress you, influence you on how to pray or what to pray. If you're not right with God, the Spirit of God is grieved in your life, so therefore He can't lead you in what to pray. And if you're not right with God, you're not going to have the spiritual desires in your heart that God said He would grant. So it demands that you be right with God. Listen to these verses right here. Lord, help us, Jesus. Psalms 37, verse 4 and 5. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Did you hear that? God said He would give you the desires of your heart. Well, preach, I'm desired $1 million. No. You didn't get what I just said a minute ago about all of this demands that you're right with God. If you listen, well, let me just say, I can't say it no better than John 15:7. John 15:7 says, he's speaking, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Did you hear that, Brother Clapper? I didn't say that. God said that. God said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can just imagine what those two terms implies.
Right.
If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will. Wait a minute, preacher. We're not supposed to be praying our will. We're supposed to be praying His will. But if we're abiding in Him and His words abiding in us, whatever our will is probably His will.
Right.
Amen? All right, listen to this verse. And I've never seen this before until today. Matthew 7. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Everybody remember that verse? You know what I've never seen before? And I've preached that, read that numerous times. You know what I've never seen before? Not one word is mentioned, Miss June, about what we're supposed to ask, what we're supposed to be seeking, and what we're supposed to be knocking. The word is just simply, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Nothing was said about what I'm supposed to ask. Meaning that in me there should be a desire put there by the Spirit of God and the Word of God and my longings for God. And I can pray that and it be given me. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Listen to this. I'll be done right here in a second. I don't mean to go long tonight, which I've not been too long. But listen to this. I want to read the rest of that. Listen to this right here. You listening? Asking it shall be given you. Seeking you shall find. Knocking it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And listen, he clarifies, he illustrates it. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Hey son, why are you asking for bread? Because inside probably there is hunger. And that need, Brother Craig, that need and that lack drove him to his father to ask. He said, what man, or, you know, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil, that is you are of a bad nature, of a human nature, a degenerate nature. He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, in the context is the gifts that they've asked for. The context is what they asked for, they received. What they sought after, they found. What they knocked on was open unto them. If ye then being evil, earthly, limited, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that what? Ask him. Ask him what? Ask him out of the desires of a spiritual heart. Amen, Brother Adam. Amen. So I hope you're thinking about all this. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all and his righteousness. That's your part. You do that and you're right with God and you're in that spiritual condition. By the way, answered prayer is a spiritual condition issue. What hinders prayer hinders revival. Amen. Many of our prayers never get answered, not because we might not have prayed the right thing, but it come out of a life that's not right with God. Amen. Devil don't care if you go to church, just don't get in shape where you can pray. Devil don't care if you carry King James for your Bible's big, you can roll around the wheelbarrow. Amen. As long as you don't get in shape where when you hit your knees, the devil trembles. What was that? The Queen of England said she feared the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of Europe or something like that. She knew when John Knox hit his knees to prayer, that buddy, business was fixing to pick up. And it wouldn't be for her, it was going to be against her. What about Mark 11:24? Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Amen. I believe God's fixing to take us somewhere as a church. And if we'll go to another level in our praying, praying with confidence, letting God lead us, get familiar with the Word of God. I mean, you think about it. When you're praying for somebody in your church, like these kids that are lost. Brother Ivan, we know that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We know that. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You have the Bible. You have God's word, the recorded will of God. You have the authority to ask God to save them. But the point I'm wanting to make is it not just be information and words but an inner confidence. I am asking God's will, and I'm expecting it, because this is the confidence we have in Him, and it turned out in those verses that that's the very petition that I received. That's the very thing God did, was what I asked Him to do. It's more than just asking God to save Blake and Gage and Claire and Karen and Cooper and all that and these others. It's more than just mentioning a name and saying, God, save them. It's more than that. Do you have a confidence in you? Do you have an inner worked confidence in you that God's going to do it? Because confidence has expectancy. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Didn't surprise me, Brother Tyler, when you called me and tell me you couldn't sleep and you was miserable and all that. That didn't surprise me at all. Why? I'd been in that floor over yonder praying those very things on him.
Amen.
Don't let him sleep. Amen. That's right. Oh, I'm telling you, God's doing something in my heart, buddy, this thing of confidence. And it's not self-confidence either, by the way. It's not self-confidence. It's not, oh, Preacher Reckler's got confidence in himself that he can pray this and it'll happen. No. It is that when God leads my heart to pray something that I know is scriptural, that I know is put there in me by the Spirit of God, and it has become a desire of my heart because I'm wanting what God wants. Thy will be done on earth as it's being done in heaven. When those three comes together, buddy, you can go ahead and run up the flag and say it's done. Sometime, somewhere, it's going to be a done deal. Praise God. Now, I'm not talking about name it, claim it stuff. I'm not talking about all that. That's not Bible. Demanding God to do this and that. We're not, no. God wants us to ask Him. God wants us to believe Him. God wants us to have confidence in Him. God wants us to have that inner faith that believes Him. Amen. Praise God. And it's hard to put in words what I've tried to preach tonight, as simple as it is, to where you can get it. God's just going to have to work it in your heart. God's just going to have to show it to you, I guess. That's all I know. Amen. Amen. Tell what else to do. We'll be dismissed by just a good altar of prayer. If you'd like to come, let's gather an altar and have a good altar of prayer. While you're coming, if you want to mention some prayer requests, feel free to do that.